Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to The Gathering. This is a special edition. We're going to be discussing challenges of the holidays for the bereaved. And I'm here with our normal gathering crew, Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and we've got a bunch of, a serious topic tonight. And before we get rolling, Fran's got a few things to say.
Okay, thanks, Bob. First, allow me to welcome any new listeners to Forever Family Foundation, particularly on Signs of Life Radio. Forever Family Foundation is a global, 100% volunteer, not-for-profit, non-sectarian organization that supports the premise that life does not end with physical death, furthers the understanding of afterlife science and survival of consciousness, and offers support to the bereaved. Among the active members of the organization and the executive board are scientists, researchers, medical doctors, philosophers, and educators who have all devoted substantial parts of their careers to the investigation of the survival hypothesis, an existence beyond this physical world. In our mission, we provide free membership, and along with that membership, we also provide many programs and services for free, including afterlife discussion groups and the Visionary Explorers Group, Signs of Life magazine that can be snail mailed or read online, Signs of Life radio with access to archived shows for free, medium certification evaluation program, certified medium resource list, afterlife education, our free YouTube channel with no ads, and our long-standing resource of afterlife information, including ethical credentialed professionals and organizations. Because of the work we do not receive grants and funding that all other not-for-profits enjoy, yet because of our dedicated staff of volunteers, we have been able to bring fabulous events and services to our members at cost, like our much-sought-after grief transformation retreats, Love Knows No Death interactive workbook video for transforming grief, the very first afterlife conference geared towards the general public in 2008. Forever Family Foundation, certified medium conventions, afterlife luncheons, holidays past events, and local smaller events supported by local volunteers. So please check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org/events. Check it often for the latest events and happenings, and become a member if you haven't already. It's free, and it has its benefits. Bob?
Well, that's a lot of stuff that we do.
Yeah, we do.
I'm tired just listening. So as we mentioned, we're going to devote today's show to the topic of holidays and how they present special challenges for the bereaved. And I'll start off by saying we're going to rely heavily on Melissa today because she's recently completed various certifications and courses, you know, grief. So
yeah.
I mean, we can all talk from experience, and you can chime in with some of the stuff you've learned. And obviously from the topic, where we know that holidays, it's a fact, they do present the challenge to most people. Some of the holidays are the big ones, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving. But it doesn't have to necessarily be one of the big holidays. I mean, it could be Halloween or the 4th of July or New Year's and
Mother's Day.
I mean, it goes on and they're challenges because all of these are attached to memories. They're all we think of our loved ones and what we were doing with them, you know, during those times. And it's different for all people. I mean, we'll all, you know, talk about our own experiences. I know for me, the way I dealt with it is I just didn't do holidays anymore. You know, so And I used to feel that they were the same day as everything else. And so but other people, and I fully understand it, find great comfort in the holidays and trying to not necessarily replicate it, but maybe celebrate it in different ways. So I don't know. I mean, one of the things that people suggest is to change the routine. Is that something that you would, Melissa?
Well, yeah, I would. I mean, definitely it's going to be different. And people often say it's getting through the first of everything, the first Christmas, the first Thanksgiving, the first birthday. But it once you get through the first of, then there's the second and the next. And it's not going to, that won't go away, and it's going to be difficult possibly for quite a long time. So I think what you said, creating some new way to celebrate, but also remembering those loved ones as part of it. I know one of our Forever Family Foundation members shared with me how difficult it was for her after her son passed, that nobody wanted to talk about him, and whether it was, she was hurt by it, but she didn't know if it was because they thought they would upset her. But she just felt like, wow, you're pretending, you're acting as though he never existed. So I think what would, is a really lovely thing to do is for any occasion when you might have gotten together with your loved one, recall those stories about what they liked best about the holiday. I that might sound sad out of the gate, but really once you start doing it and uplifting stories, not, anything that would be extremely emotional.
Don't you think that is something the host of the celebration should be bringing up rather than the person who suffered the loss? I mean, it would be awkward for the person who suffered the loss to say, hey, let's talk about Charlie or something.
Right.
Because then everybody else might take a look and pass judgment on him or her. But if the host does it,
that would be lovely.
It's the host's party. It's the host invited the guests. And, if the guests don't want to participate, they don't participate. But I think it's the person with the loss that's put in that peculiar position. And when I agree that that's the most hurtful thing, is to be at something that you've been at every single year for the past, 10, 15, 20 years with that son or that other person. Now all of a sudden that person's not there and you're ignoring the fact that all those years went by with that person sitting at that table. Now that person's not there, and you're not going to even acknowledge it. That's hurtful.
You're right.
To the bereaved person.
I think that, it's interesting about, telling stories about, the person that's no longer there is valuable to a lot of people, because one of the things people find most hurtful and discouraging and they're fearful is that people are going to forget their loved one and that they're going to forget them fairly quickly. And,
yeah.
And then even if a while has passed, bringing up, stories, I could see would be very comforting to a lot of people. And when you mentioned changing the routine, I mean, one example might be, so if the family got together at your house for Thanksgiving dinner every year, go out to eat or something along that nature, maybe if you celebrated Christmas Eve every year, so do Christmas Day, or just anything to change it up.
Different. Yeah. And Fran, thinking about what you said, about the host's job, I think that would have to be a very, assuming you spend the holiday with someone who's close to you and does care about you. Because I can also envision some hosts, if they're, I'm going to invite Jane, even though I know she's, still grieving, but, the rest of the party will liven her up. But the hostess might feel a bit too busy and overwhelmed. But it would be nice if the hostess did say, Jane, tell us about. So even if the hostess isn't going to get the whole ball rolling with it, make sure that
I'm thinking this through, though, right now with us, like how your inclination you would be perhaps to say, I'm really not up for a party. And hopefully a thoughtful and caring friend would say, well, what can I do to make it easier? We really would like you there.
Right.
And that would then be the opportunity.
Exactly. Rather than the approach of, oh, come anyway, you'll feel better.
Yes.
Because you won't.
Yeah. And you'll find yourself in a corner and kicking yourself, why did I come?
And wanting to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think, oh, I'm sorry, Tony.
Oh, no, no. And certainly they should be able to leave if they so choose. We were just recently at a memorial, and the kids of the lady who passed, they were anxious to hear stories, and
exactly.
They wanted to hear stories. In fact, the woman who passed was the younger sister of a friend of mine who was one of my best friends when I was a kid, and he'd already passed 16 years ago. And his daughter was at the memorial for her aunt, and she wanted to, I had some funny stories of her dad, and she just couldn't get enough of it. She just loved it.
Right.
She was very young when he passed, so
right.
you feel, I think you do feel, I know I have, that when you come up on somebody who's recently suffered a loss, the last thing you want to do is stir up something that will make them upset, and so you tend, human nature is not to bring it up. But yeah, bringing it up can be a good thing.
Yeah, and then as you mentioned, that there is no right or wrong. It's really when you're bereaved, it's whatever makes you feel better.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a break. We come back. I wanted to ask you about because I've been at places and I've seen it done two ways, but some people find comfort in setting an empty chair for their loved one, and others are very uncomfortable with that. But I do find the people that are uncomfortable, not the bereaved, it's the other people.
Yeah.
Well,
let's talk a bit about that when we come back from the break. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering, and we're talking about challenges of the holidays for the bereaved. And before the break, I brought up, I've been at various functions with somebody that was grieving the loss of a loved one, and it was a holiday, and they set, and there was an empty chair that was to remain empty, and it was set like the way it would normally set, you know, and I, of course, I totally understood, but I sensed that, you know, others thought that they felt uncomfortable by it, like, who cares how they feel?
Exactly.
But, have you, anybody have any thoughts on that? Is that something that might give people comfort and others not?
Again, you know, it's too bad that our program is probably, our audience is mostly those who are grieving, because I think it would be really important for the other folks who want to be as helpful as they can, because they may be that person one day, for them to have, to be listening to this advice.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be, again, a lovely gesture by the host or hostess. So we're thinking perhaps the grieving person is not the host or hostess of the party, although maybe they should be if they're up for it, you know, just to maybe keep it simple, but just have the
I like that closest. Idea, keeping it simple, being the hostess and putting forth to other people what you would like. It's exactly what you say. Now they're learning how to react to people who are bereaved.
Yeah.
And admittedly, we're looking at this from a different perspective. I know I am, because we may think that that empty chair is not empty.
Right.
Yeah, well, you know, where others don't get that, you know, but we do, you know.
Yeah.
And,
you know, having said that, I just want to throw this little thought in there, is that if you spent, let's say, Christmas with the same people, year after year after year, you're there for Christmas Eve, and then there's a tragedy, and you just can't bring yourself to sit with a bunch of people, and that's okay, mm-hmm. So you don't go. But our deceased loved ones know how bad we're feeling, and if we were to be at this thing, and we would be open to signs, that would be the best place for them to do something spectacular, mm-hmm. like
yeah.
turn the TV on or something like that,
yeah.
because everybody's there to witness it.
Well, didn't that happen? You made me think of, you know, Christmas Eve. We went to our friends, you know, for decades, you know, mm-hmm. And then the first Christmas Eve, which was only, you know, 2 or 3 months after our daughter passed, you know, we just we just couldn't go, you know, so we didn't. And then they told us that all night long they kept hearing somebody going up and down the staircase, right?
And opening and closing the sliders in the den downstairs where nobody was.
Right.
They just kept hearing the sliders opening.
And they didn't say that because they knew we were into it, because we weren't at that point. Whatever. But they just thought it was kind of strange, but interesting, and you know.
Well, I don't think they. I think they were very open to this kind of stuff. I don't think they thought it was strange at all. They were excited to tell us what we had missed.
Right.
And if you weren't into all this then, or do you just mean the foundation? Because were you? What? How did you take
that? I think the foundation wasn't the foundation at the time.
Right. So when Bob said all not into all.
Yeah, I mean that was still that was woo-woo stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I mean not for me.
You got it. Well, this was never woo-woo stuff for me. I was always open to it.
Yeah. Well, it's strange because I say it's woo-woo stuff, but yet I would find it comforting because I was, you know, I would grasp at anything, any possibility I'd latch on to. I just wasn't in a position to really accept it. You know, I just thought maybe I'm fantasizing, and to me, I needed that.
That's my point. Yeah. So if it's a function with a lot of people, and something spectacular like that happens, it's not just you saying, "Oh, well, maybe I imagined it," or maybe because I feel bad, or maybe because of this. Everybody in the room gets to experience it.
Yeah.
So that's the good thing about holidays when you're bereaved.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. That's a good angle.
Well, how about the ways one commemorates those who aren't there, too? Because I know we've all, you know, heard about the balloons, you know,
candles.
Celebratory foods, having what someone always loved. I'm not so sure about buying gifts, because then does it get open? What do you do? You have it end up unopened. Oh, maybe you donate them. Things that the person
that's a nice idea.
Can donate or adopt a family. You know, again, I think I'm leaning towards the December holidays when, you know, a lot of gift shopping is done.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, you know, stuff that I was reading, people, some people we know, they make a donation, you know, to a charity that the loved one found was important. You mentioned gifts. Some people do buy a gift, but then they donate the gift to somebody, and you know, to remember the loved one. It's important, which I would agree with, too, if you are going to somebody else's, you know, house, and like Fran was talking about, I mean, communicate with the host and let the host know, you know, something that you want to do, and if it's not okay, you just, I don't have to be there, you know.
Exactly.
But if it is okay, you know, I'll be there, you know.
Yeah. So. I think the host obviously is inviting you because you're a friend or you're a relative and they care about you.
Right.
So when you make that request, more than likely they're going to accommodate you on the request. But I think if you don't make the request, and I think it's what Melissa said before, is that they're not familiar with how you feel because they haven't been there. So they're afraid by mentioning the person's name or offering to do something, they're going to hurt you. They're going to make you feel bad.
Trigger something.
Right. And, you know, and while it might, it still may be a great gesture, you know. It's an emotional time. Of course it's going to bring up emotions, and you may cry, and you may feel terrible, but you're happy that this person has made this offer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something else to remember. Just because you're feeling bad doesn't mean the person made you feel bad.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, thinking again, Bob, about that empty chair, Tom and I always get so excited when it's just the two of us dining out. Every Sunday we used to have dinner out with his mom. So that was every Sunday, not special holidays. And still we get excited if the waiter comes over with 3 glasses of water.
Yeah.
I like that. Do we drink it?
Yeah, but it
happens
those,
a lot.
The little signs that you know, that really keep you going.
What about music? I mean, a lot of people, their loved one liked a particular song, so they choose to play that song on special days, you know.
I think that's lovely.
Yeah.
I think anything, you know, it's so easy to be sad, so it's a challenge to try to find things uplifting.
Yeah. And but, don't people also feel like if they skip something, they feel guilty, which just adds to the... to the grief, right?
Yeah.
And so that's important, I think, you know, because you can't say it enough. I mean, don't do anything that makes you feel guilty or bad.
Right.
You know, just, you know, you're the one that's important, you know. I mean, and everybody, if they can't understand it, then they're not
right.
a true friend.
And you're going to feel sad anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
You're going to feel sad anyway. So, you know, as long as people are okay, people that you surround yourself with are okay with that,
right.
you can make it through the day.
How about looking at photos and photo albums, you know, on the holiday of your loved one?
I think that's a really nice idea. You know, I'm thinking our conversation sort of seems geared to an individual with a loss, but there could be the parent who's lost the partner and their children. And you have to kind of keep it together for them. So the photos, going through photos would be wonderful, especially for children, you know, to talk about daddy or mommy or grandma.
Yeah.
Just to have those stories that they may not have heard before. You know, it's funny, our son is in his 30s, and the family stories that we've always told, yeah, I just kind of assume, well, sure, he knows them. Too. And then I start telling something about my dad. He goes, I never knew that. And it was just like, well, that's so interesting because we all always, it was just sort of an assumed story about my dad. But kids at a young age aren't always tuning in to what the grown-ups are talking about.
Right.
So any story for someone of any age is always good to repeat. We loved to tell familiar stories. Remember the time that you know, so and so.
I think it's the stories that are the best things that you can do when you get together with people because, like Bob said, that seals the deal on they haven't been forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The stories are usually funny or meaningful in some way, and so you know that they're going to be around for a long time. The story's going to be around for a long time, so will their memory be around for a long time.
Yeah, and anything you can do to get people laughing is some of the best medicine, of course.
So, because the best thing about looking at a photo album is when the little kids look at the photo album and they start talking about people that they knew in the photo album that they never knew in real life. Right?
Absolutely. Oh, that's true. But, looking for those signs, those little things that happen, I know our loved ones in spirit must get so excited to know that we're talking about them and remembering special things about them. I always feel like that love that we're showing them by talking to them elevates them even to a higher level on the other side. I was speaking to someone, this is kind of off topic, but speaking to someone a couple weeks ago who had difficulty thinking that there are other levels on the other side. I think, you know, explaining to someone who maybe didn't even have a belief system in place about the afterlife, and then you start adding new details just from what our mediums have told us and messages that come through in readings. I don't know if you've folks feel the same way, if there are levels or the afterlife is just the afterlife and, you know, it sort of is just the way it is, or if it changes. But I think, in my opinion, all the memories that we have and every time we speak our loved one's name shows how much they were loved and does elevate their spirit. I mean, because somebody who you never talk about, well, maybe nobody really cared for that person. And what's going on for them on the other side? Sounds like our stories out of Testimony of Light. Where
right. And it makes me think, too, because if you were the kind of person in this world that went out of your way to quietly do things for other people and just did it quietly, once you're gone, those people still remember that there was this person who did something for them. And I think those are the thoughts you're talking about, where they remember that, and that elevates the soul.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and perhaps even more important than elevating, you know, the soul is that the very act of us thinking about them and talking about them and you know, loving them facilitates the communication. So you're going to get more signs and you're going to get more communications, and maybe you'll get a dream visit, you know, because they feel the emotion that you're letting out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and perhaps at these family gatherings when these things happen, I mean, nobody did a study about it, but maybe more signs come about when we're in these sharing, you know, loving atmospheres, you know.
So, well, I think our loved ones want to be around that atmosphere. Right. They're hovering.
Right, they're attracted to it, right?
That's right. You know, right. And so they're right there, and showing us more signs is the coolest part.
I always had a problem with, you know, with the photographs. It just shows you how different everybody is. I mean, I couldn't look at photographs at all, and yet I know, like, Fran would get great comfort from it. So it just shows you how two people can be totally different, you know, and it gave me more pain, so why would I do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her gave her comfort, so she would want to do it. So as long as you respect everybody's way of doing things, there's no right or wrong.
That's important. Yeah. That's really important to remember, because all these things we're talking about, it just isn't the same for everybody. Everybody's grieving in a different way.
Right.
So what is uplifting to some person might send the other person in a downward.
And we're always talking about transforming, you know, grief, and that's what our grief retreats are about, and that's what our work is about. And I've lived that, you know, because I'm at a point now, you know, in my life where I can look at a picture lovingly, with giving me joy, which is 360 degrees from where I was. So there's an example of transforming grief, you know, into joy. It, you know, it can happen. It doesn't happen overnight. But one of the ways it happens is learning about all the evidence that they're still around, and also having these profound personal experiences. You know, so people can, just because you're one way for a year or two or 3 years or 5 years afterwards, we always say, and it sounds silly when you say, you know, time heals all. It doesn't heal all. It just changes as you change. You know.
Yeah.
It changes into something else, right?
Yes, something that manageable.
Yeah. I think, isn't it a problem, though, with, like, also with people that grieve, that they kind of stop taking care of themselves?
That's a big problem.
That certainly can happen, yeah.
They kind of lose, like, what's the use? It's too much effort, really.
Right.
And so I think that's important. And, you know, again, this is getting away from our topic of holidays, but just accomplishing one little thing, just, you know, brushing your teeth, maybe, you know, having a shower,
right.
You know, having a conversation with somebody, just baby steps, one little goal each day.
But also, it also relates to holidays, because people they'll start stressing over the holiday, like a month before the holiday. You got a lot of other stuff to worry about. That's all you're worrying about, you know. It's just another.
Because when you're going to a holiday celebration, you're not in control of what's going on there, and so there's that apprehension of, do I go into a crowd, not knowing how the day is going to turn out,
right?
Not knowing what people are going to be there, not knowing what any one of those people
can I leave,
say
right?
to
can
me.
I leave? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's, of course you're going to stress about it,
right.
and you're allowed to stress about it, and you're allowed to say I'm not going, and you're allowed to go and then change your mind and leave. And I think that, you know, again, we're going back to that same thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we could get this message out to people all over, so that when it becomes their turn to be the host or the hostess, they can understand. But here's the great thing. all Signs of Life radio shows are archived, and our bereaved listeners can download it when they have to go to a hostess or a host and say, can you just listen to this radio show? Because it might help you out in dealing not just with me, but anybody else who comes along down the road.
Right.
Well, it's also about shifting energy, getting through grief. A lot of it is made possible because your energy is as low as it can be, and you're in a dark place, and you can't see any way out of it. And the one thing to remember from what we've learned is that you have guides on the other side that are there to help you. And sometimes it's, and we talk about making an intention or manifesting, that where you send out a goal that you want to achieve. And the important part of manifesting is that once you've set out the intention of something you want, you have to let it go and let the universe deliver. What too many people think is, you know, I'm in this bad, horrible place. How am I going to get myself out of it? And a lot of people can't by themselves. And so what we're talking about is shifting your energy from the dark and depressed to doing something that you don't feel like doing, but just something as simple as, I'm just reading in a book about, make it a point to smile at 10 people during the day. Just like that. You don't feel like it, you don't want to, but just doing it shifts your energy to a positive. And when you shift your energy away from the negative to the positive, you attract the more positive energies. You make a path that your guides can help you go down. And that is very relevant in the holidays, is that, yeah, you don't want to go through that. You don't want to be at a party. But if you just physically put yourself there, again, that we've mentioned several times, if you get to the party and feel that this is not working, there's no problem going. Right. You know, you take the host aside and say, look, I really have to go. And most people would be more than understanding.
So. Good advice. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
And we're back on The Gathering, and we're talking about challenges of the holidays for the bereaved. I don't know that we've talked about it, but some people, I think, when they're bereaved and the holiday comes, they kind of want to be alone to themselves. And other people fear being alone. You know, they want to be with other people. What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously, it's whatever makes you feel better, but
I think there's no one size fits all, and everybody is going to be different. You know, we have introverted people, extroverted people. Some people, I hate to say, will share their misery. That came out of my mouth. I wouldn't really think anybody wants people to sympathize with them. I think that might be another difficulty if your loss has meshed with your identity in some way, and you show up at a party and you've been accustomed to being comforted or soothed because of your loss, but when you show up at a party and everyone's in a festive mood and enjoying themselves, and in you walk and you're not greeted with the same condolences because of the party setting, that might be really difficult because that's what you've become accustomed to. But, yeah, I think everybody's got to figure it out for themselves what's going to make them feel better. But I do think some people do need that extra nudge. They might say, oh, no, I don't want to go. And they really need somebody to push a little harder.
Yeah, I could see, because I experienced that myself, where, you know, when it comes to crowds, I used to be uncomfortable because all these things are going on and people were enjoying themselves and having these conversations, and in the back of my mind I'm saying, well, why is the world keeps going on, and why isn't anybody taking this seriously, don't they understand that my loved one's not here and that kind of stuff, so...
They don't, but I think there's also the flip side of what Melissa was saying, is that there are people who don't want to be in the party, don't want to go someplace, yet also should not be alone.
And I don't think that the general public or even close friends understand or realize that that's a possibility. And then these people who are really in a bad place are sitting home by themselves. And, that you know,
that's not good.
That's not good.
Right.
The another thing that comes to mind is that on special days, holidays, birthdays, anniversaries and things, that a lot of people find comfort if their loved one was in a buried in a cemetery, I guess, as opposed to being, you know, cremated, that they visit the grave site. It strikes me like when I drive by a cemetery on holidays, you know, you see it's crowded, right? I mean, so people, I always, you know, for me, I never had any desire to do that, but, people feel more of a connection to the loved one on a holiday.
I think they feel like they're doing something for the person, and I think, and I've read a lot about this over the past couple of years, is that they've turned it into more of a ceremonial thing. So if I spent 4th of July at the park having a picnic with this person every year, why don't I pack up that picnic and take it to the cemetery?
That makes sense.
And sit on the grass with my blanket and bring my wine and talk to this person and have a sandwich or a cake or something. And that's what people are doing. And you know what? I think it's a great idea. I think it's just a great idea. If that's what you need to spend with them and you feel that that's the last physical connection they had to the physical world, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I hope our listeners to this program, whenever they listen to it, we don't know if it'll actually fall on a holiday when this gets rebroadcast, but think about this now, like planning ahead, not meaning that they haven't planning before you've lost someone, but you know you've already lost someone, and on a better day, on a day when you're not so low, you know, maybe start coming up with a plan ahead of time. We plan ahead for parties. We plan ahead for holidays. So come up with a plan ahead of time. You may not end up doing it, but at least you'll be a little more prepared. You'll know what's going to be in store for you and have a plan of action.
You touched on this before, but about when we're talking about emotions. So one of the reasons that a lot of people dislike holidays so much when they're bereaved is because they feel guilty if they have joy, right? So somehow it's being disrespectful to their loved one if they're laughing or, you know, or singing or so forth. But if you come to the belief system that your loved ones not only feel your joy but feel your sadness, then that's a strong motivator, right? I mean, why would we want to make our loved ones sad, you know?
Exactly.
So,
but I think that the cultural way of thinking of it is that our loved ones are supposed to accept that we feel bad. We're supposed to be feeling bad because they're not here. And so they expect us. They must be expecting us to feel bad. So that when you do celebrate or you feel joy or you giggle at something, that's where the guilt comes in. Because in your mind, you've convinced yourself that they are understanding how badly you feel that they're not here.
Right. And that all goes back to what we talk about all the time, you have to change the way that you think. Once you change the way that you think, you'll change the way that you react.
That's right.
You know, so
you look at things differently, the things you look at will change.
Yeah. I know a problem for some, especially during the holidays, but even non-holidays, for those that are in big grief, is food and alcohol or any addiction, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a lot of people tend to overindulge because, like you said something before, like they don't care anymore, you know, so who cares, you know, I'll do whatever that makes me feel better at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what happens, you know, after that. And so that's something to watch out for, I guess, you know. And then other people are totally different, you know, that their grief is bad, and they can't think of eating, when they can't think of enjoying themselves with a drink. So people are so different that they're
so different. And you know, we're our backgrounds are all different too, and I know different. I don't know what I want to say. Not kind of, where your origin. Like when I make my Hugs from Heaven articles of clothing, and I have to visit different families to collect their clothing, and I go in my normal, cheerful self, and then I, you know, I'm hit with the sad face. It's like, oh, that's right, Melissa, take it down a notch. You know, these people are grieving. And then I go into the next home, toning down my overall demeanor, and they're very uplifted. So it you know, the cultural differences vary so much, and that may follow through with how holidays are viewed. So I think, you know, our group here, we're pretty similar, but culturally, that might be a problem. Mm-hmm. They might have their own mores about,
you know,
how to go about it.
My time with the Forever Family Foundation, the one thing that I have seen many times is how impressive the healing is when the grieving person realizes, whether it's through a medium reading or something else, realizes that their loved ones are not gone. They've passed, but their soul lives on, and you will see one another again. And not only that, is that there is a line of communication still. And anything that you can do to open up the lines of communications is tremendous. And as we have seen, I don't know if anybody believes in orbs or not, but when you take photographs at weddings and places where there's music and dancing and fun, it's covered with orbs. And that's spirit, to realize that your loved ones on the other side are experiencing phenomenal love and joy, and they want the same for you, and that they certainly understand when you're feeling down and try to send you signs to let you know, hey, I'm okay. We still love each other. We still have a relationship. That's never going to change. And then when people see that for themselves, it's the best medicine. And so anything that you can do, either through meditation, through music, through dancing, through laughing, you know, open those channels. And if you receive a direct message, that's fantastic. And if it takes a medium to bring the message to you, do that. But it's all about the communication and knowing that they're not lost. They're just gone for a while.
And maybe that's something that we can all do when trying to deal with the holidays. Is maybe the day before the holiday, talk to your loved one, to your deceased loved one, and say, I know you're going to be there.
Yes.
Show me a sign, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go, and I'm gonna watch, and I'm gonna observe, and I'm gonna react, and I know you're there, you know. Put a different spin on it.
And also remember, if you do whatever you do see or experience, it's really important to tell another person about it. Don't keep it to yourself. You write it down, but also tell somebody else about it. I think that's really important to
and
share.
Especially your loved ones. Hey, that's a sign. Thank you. I love
right.
it. Yes,
yeah.
I love you. I love the sign. Give me more.
Yeah, yeah. And
ask once, thank often.
Yes, I like that.
Did you make that up?
No, I hung it on the wall.
Oh. She's honest to us.
Well, I'll write all that right, one well, down.
Okay, I think we're time to wrap up. I hope everybody gets through their holiday in good fashion.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our global peace prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners,
Sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.